بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 29 من شهر صفر 1446 الموافق 3 من شهر سبتمبر 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات، ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So after long break, alhamdulillah, we managed to come back to our durus. And today, inshallah, if you remember the last online class, we just finished a topic, and now we are supposed to be dealing with a new chapter, which is about istihbab al-qamis, the recommendation of the Sharia, an encouragement from the Sharia for a Muslim to wear al-qamis, cloth, shirt, jubba, whatever name you give it. قال عن أم سلمة قالت كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القميص. أم سلمة رضي الله عنها said in this hadith, which is authenticated by some of our scholars, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم loves to wear قميص. He loves to wear qamis, because in those days people wear izar, the garment you put on you. And also they wear qamis, jubba, the cloth, the shirt. So the Prophet loves qamis, because it's more stable. You don't need to do a lot of job to keep it on you. You know, and if you are to fall down, the possibility of you, you know, you are being uncovered, it's more on the izar than the qamis. So both are okay, but here the hadith is just telling you that the Prophet ﷺ loves these type of clothes. كَانَ أَحَبَّ الثِّيَابِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْقَمِيسِ. قَالَ بَابٌ صِفَةُ طُولِ الْقَمِيسِ وَالْكُمِّ والإزار وطرف الإمامة وتحريم إسبال الشيء من ذلك على سبيل الخيلاء وكراهته من غير خيلاء. This new chapter will talk about the way the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know, used to dress himself up, the nature and the type of the clothes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the description of the cloth, how are you supposed to make it, and how is the Muslim supposed to look. So we'll talk about the length of the qamis itself, the cloth, the thawb, and the sleeve, the hand sleeve, and also the izar, the lower garment that the person is wearing, وطرف الإمامة, and also the side of the turbans, the length and the size of all of those. We are going to get them from this chapter, inshallah. وتحريم إسبال شيء من ذلك, and also the impermissibility of doing إسبال. إسبال is to wear something beyond its limitation. In this regard, is wearing something that goes below the ankles. إِذَا كَانَ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْخُيَلَى, if that is done based on the خُيَلَى, showing off and pride. وَكَرَاهَتُهُ, and also the topic we'll talk about in dislikeness. When a person is not doing it out of خُيَلَى, still Sharia hate it and don't like it. But according to Imam An-Nawawi, it doesn't reach that level of strong prohibition. So there's a controversial matter amongst us, the scholars. And you have nusus from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we quoted. And we are going to go through each and every one of them, insha'Allah. So what I want you to go out with is the fact that the issue is between at-tahrim and karah. Nobody saying mubah or halal. It's either makruh or haram. It is more than enough for a Muslim to think wisely, to understand that yes, Islam doesn't like it. And it's better for you to stay away from it. And this is the best method, rather than getting involved in controversies of the scholars. This one said this, this one said that, this one said this, this one said that. Always try to see what was done by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and do the same thing. Then you'll be on the safe side and you will never be blamed. And they all agree also, if a person is making it out of khuyala, then this person is included in the wa'id. It's not actually part of the discussion. This one is concluded by them. But they're talking about the one who just do it just because he wants to look like that. Is he doing haram or is he doing makruh? Then they have the controversy amongst them. So we're going to see the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you judge which category and which side of the opinions amongst the scholars you believe is supported by these evidences, insha'Allah. قال أن أسماء بنت يزيد الأنصارية قالت كان كم قميص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الرسخ. She said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has cloth, and the length of the sleeve of the clothes of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is up to the wrist. Rusk, this is the wrist. There is a hadith that says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has two types of clothes. One of them, it goes up to the atraf al-asabi', the tip of the fingers. Get it? According to that hadith, he uses this one to meet his delegates. The coat of this one is very big, very wide, and it covers here. However, this narration is weak narration, so we don't depend on it. But the one that is authentic is the one that says is up to the wrist. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't have two clothes, which one of them covers here and the other one stops here. He has one type which is up to this part of the hand. That's why Ibn Abdul Qawi, for those of you who are with us in the Manzumat al-Adab, he says, وَلِلْ رُسْغِ كُمُّ الْمُصْطَفَى فَإِنْ يَرْتَخَى تَنَاهَا إِلَىٰ أَقْسَى أَصَابِعِهِ الْيَدِ. He says, the kum, this is the sleeve of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, up to the rusq. Yeah, he does it up to this place, and this is the most moderate one, not to let it go until it covers. You get it? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith, the sunnah confirms that, as you see here from the hadith of Asma bint Yazid, up to this level, the sleeves of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his clothes, which means it is recommended that when you go to the tailor to design a cloth for you, to make it up to this level also, because your Prophet make it up to this level sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Qalat Asma bint Yazid al-Ansariya kanat kum qamis Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ila al-rusul. So we mentioned that there is a hadith which is mentioned by some scholars such as Safarini and others, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have the one that reaches this place, but that one is a weak narration. But we have another authentic narration that says up to this level, and this is the hadith of Asma bint Yazid al-Ansariya. كانت كم قميص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الرسك. قال وأنا عبد الله بن عمر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من جر ثوبه خيلا لم ينظر الله إليه يوم القيامة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, whoever drag his pants below the ankle, out of pride and showing off, لَمْ يَنْظِرِ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ يُمْقِرُ. Allah is not going to look at him on the day of judgment. مَنْ جَرَّ ثَوْبَهُ خُيَلَ لَمْ يَنْظِرِ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not look at him on the day of judgment. And this is confirming that this is a major sin. Yeah, because what makes a person not being, you know, given the opportunity for him to be looked at by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means he's doing something very big on the day of judgment. Wallahi, that's why it's okay for a person to choose whatever you want to choose, but remember, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to meet him alone. Nobody's going to help you. Ijtihad and all of these things are not going to help you. This dunya is all about temporary life. You know, soon we will be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. Make that moment the best moment, you know. Be on the safe side. Don't do things to enjoy the dunya, do this and that, but at the end of the day, you go and get into trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does dunya going to do for you? Wallahi, nothing. The Prophet said, Allah is not going to look at this person. The scholar said, Nadhara ihtirami. The look that shows respect, he will never get this. Qala Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this, Abu Bakr was there. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inna izari yassarhi. And I want you to look at the context, the statement itself, the jumla itself. He said, Ya Rasulullah, inna izari yastarkhi. He said, my garment yastarkhi means falls down by itself. He did not say, my izar, my garment is very long, I made it long. No, he said, it falls down. One of the tabi'een who met Abu Bakr, he said, he was very slim. In a way, it was very difficult for Izar to be placed on his shoulder. Whenever he put it, it falls down when he moves. He has to keep on taking care of it from time to time. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, you said this, but in Izar yastarkhi, he said, my Izar comes down by itself. Illa anni ata'ahil. He said, except that when it comes down, I bring it back. Okay? I have to keep on bringing it. You see that context, right? He says, my izar comes down, but I bring it back. So based on this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innaka lasta mimman yaf'aluhu khuyala. You are not amongst those who are doing it out of pride. So if you look at the context, then you will understand that yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to a situation which Abu Bakr is not doing. The one that Abu Bakr is doing, or the one that Abu Bakr is referring to, is not included in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he doesn't do it purposely. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Izratul mu'min ila ansafi saqih, wa la haraja fi ma baynahu wa bayna al-ka'bayn." He said that the garment of a believer is up to the half of his shin, but there is no problem for him to let it go down up to the ankles. I mean, what is the difference between the ankles and that which is below? It's very little. Well, if you look at it, it's very little. But this one gets you the mardatillahi azza wa jal. And the other one, the minimum you can say about it is, it puts you under the category of shubha. You don't know your situation until the time you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, "Inna izari yastarkhi, lakinni ata'ahaduhu ya Rasulullah." Qala innaka lasta mimman yaf'aluhu khuyala. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, my garment falls now, but I try to take care of it." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No problem. What you're doing is okay, because you are not among those who are doing it out of pride." قال وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا ينظر الله يوم القيامة إلى من جر إزاره بطرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to look at that person who is dragging his pants below the ankle out of pride and showing off. So we can see there are two things here. The other one is going to be mentioned later, but there are two things here. One of them is a person who is doing that without showing off, and a person who is doing it out of pride and showing off, arrogance. And two punishments being given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us two punishments. One of them is for this type of people, and the other one is for this. How do we know that there are two different punishments? Because there is a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned both things in the same hadith. He said, "Man jarra izarahu." He says, "Ma taht al-ka'bayn min al-izar fa fi an-nar." Whatever goes below the ankle from the izar is going to be kept into the hellfire. That part of the body that you cover with the izar is going to be in hell. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Some part of the body to be punished without punishing the whole thing. So if a person does it just out of wanting to do, you know, just want to look like that, the Prophet ﷺ said the punishment is that that part of the body might be going to hell if Allah doesn't forgive him. And if a person does it out of showing off and pride and arrogance, then the Prophet ﷺ said Allah will not look at him. So you can see two different punishments. That's why those of you who study usul al-fiqh, you will understand that حمل المطلق على المقيد هنا لا يمكن. There is no way for you to observe, you know, looking at the mutlaq, you know, in the sense of the muqayyad. No. Because of the nature of both of them. Although the sabab is the same, you know, but the hukum is the same, but the sabab is different. So you have this one, the cause of that punishment is because he is arrogant. That's where Allah SWT doesn't look at him. And the other one, the cause of that punishment because he does it without having the arrogance with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished that part of the body alone. That's the reason why I said, forget about differences of the scholars. Just be on the safe side. Even if you don't take a stance, you don't say this one, you don't say that one, but just identify what was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and just do it. You will never get into trouble at all. قال وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما أسفل من الكعبين من الإزار ففي النار. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said whatever goes below the ankle from the izar, that one will be placed in hell. صلى الله عليه وسلم والعافية. وعن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ثلاثة لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا ينظر إليهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There are three people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to them on the Day of Judgment. So this is referring to any speech that is based on respect. Yeah, you speak to a person, you speak to a person, he knows that you're respecting him through the way you're speaking. Allah will never do this to these guys. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ. And Allah will never look at them. نَظَرَ احْتِرَامِ. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ. And they will never be purified. SubhanAllah. You can see how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken them far from His mercy. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And a severe and a great punishment is awaiting them. قَالَ قَرَأَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned it three times. ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Three times he is saying this. قَالَ أَبُو ذَرْ. So Abu Dharr said, خَابُوا وخسروا من هم يا رسول الله. Abu Dharr said, these people are really in trouble. These losers who lost everything, who are they? These disgraced people, who are they? Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Musbilu. In another narration, he says, Al-Musbilu Izara. The one who is dragging his pants below the ankle. But this one has to be restricted to the other narration that says, Khuyala. Because the punishment given here in this hadith is the same as the punishment given in those who are doing it khuyala. That's why they added khuyala when it comes to interpretation in this hadith only. So the first person he started with, al-musbil. What does that mean? It is always better for you, even if you take the other stance that says is makruh, to stay away from it. It's better for you. Wallah. Even if you take the karaha, you believe it's makruh, it's better for you to stay away from it. Because look at what the Prophet ﷺ is saying here in Sahih Muslim. قال المسبر إزاره والمنان. Al-Mannan is a person who gives and disrespects the receiver. He gives and disrespects the person who is receiving. This is the person that we call Al-Mannan. Yeah, don't forget, this thing is from me. I'm the one who give you this. Or in the presence of people, he give him and then he tells him, don't forget, I'm the one who provide you this. Or you go to the people and tell them, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I managed to provide for Muhammad this and that. You embarrass him. That's al-man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is min kaba'il dhunub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La tubtulu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. Don't you ever destroy your charity through al-man wal adha and harm. Ayyuhallah, the best charity is the one that you did in secret and you conceal the affair of the person who is receiving and don't tell anyone and don't let him also inform others. Tell him not to tell anyone. Don't do it in front of his family members and do it in secret, you know, between you and him, and don't inform anyone and don't show any indication that this thing that he got is, the source is you. That's the best charity. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوا الْفُقَرَىٰ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It's better for you to hide it and to give it to that person, conceal his affairs. Allah says, لَا تُبْتُلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ. It doesn't make sense. Wallahi, it's better for you to keep your money, to keep your things, rather than going to give that person and embarrass him. Because you're not going to get reward from Allah, you'll be blamed by Allah. And that person that is receiving from you, trust me, he will never respect you. That's why the poet says, إِذَا الْجُودُ لَمْ يُرْزَقْ خَلَاصًا مِنَ الْأَذَىٰ فَلَا الْحَمْدُ مَكْسُوبٌ وَلَا الْمَالُ بَاقِيَةٌ. He says, if your generosity is not blessed by staying away from harming the receivers, he says, you're going to lose the side of Allah. No praise from Allah, no praise from the person who received it, and at the same time, you lost your money. At the same time, you lost your money. Allah is a loss, is a waste of money. It's better for you to go and give it to your kids. You eat it, rather than giving it in that way that you're disrespecting the person who is receiving. So we have to be very careful. We want to please Allah through helping and supporting our brothers and sisters. We have to do it in the correct way. We have to do it in the correct way. قَالَ فَلَلْحَمْدُ مَكْسُوبٌ وَلَلْمَالُ بَاقِيَةٌ. So لَا تُبْتُلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ. And even your family members. Yeah, your wife, especially the mothers also. Many times she give things and tell the kids, you have to do this, you have to say that, we give you this, we give that. No, this is wrong. They will do it with others also. They will do it with others. Teach him how to appreciate, and that's it. But don't you ever let him know that you want him to say thank you to you. But teach him how to appreciate kindness from others. But don't emphasize so much on that which you are doing, because they are going to do it also with others. Well, Mannan, The third one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالْمُنْفِقُ سِلْعَتَهُ أو مُنَفِّقُ سِلْعَتَهُ بِالْحَلِفِ الْكَاذِبِ. Allah is down. You go to a market, a person will say, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ I got it like this, at this cost. He will lie. You know? And you know he's lying, and he knows he's lying. The Prophet said, one of these guys that Allah would not purify, would not look at him, is a person who is selling his goods through false oath. He lied, you know, swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is lying. He knows that he is going to lie, but he uses the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person wants to lie, lie. This is a big sin. Yeah. But if you put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in, it makes it worse. That's why he deserves this punishment. Lying itself is a major sin. But if somebody attached the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to beautify his word, you know, to make it, you know, acceptable by people, this is worse. This is make it much bigger sin. Business is good, but a person has to be ameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِن صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْئِهِمَا. You want Allah to put barakah in your business? Be honest, trustworthy, transparent, say the truth, and don't worry about people not buying. Allah will bring them to come back to you. And trust me, if people sense honesty from your side, even if yours is expensive, but they believe you're honest, they will come to you. They will ignore those ones that they have doubt, and they come to you. This is what most of us don't understand. So this is a very important hadith that I really want all of us to pay attention to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. So we stop here inshallah, because I guess there's a time for Isha. Inshallah, in the next class we will continue from where we stopped. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، there is a question about what has been mentioned in the hadith. Those hadiths that we talk about today. His sister, how about the sisters? So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no, they're not included. They should let one shibr on the ground. And shibr one, span of hand. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that. She said, Ya Rasulullah, but after a short period of time, it will go up. Then he said, they can make it up to one dhira. وَلَا يَزِدْنَا عَلَى ذَلِكُ, but they shouldn't go beyond that. You know, so they are not included at all in the hadith. This is meant for the brothers alone. And the second question says, is there any situation where you should choose not to forgive somebody? No, there is no situation like that. You should always forgive. You can hold a person responsible for the sake of the public. Just say you have a person, somebody who doesn't believe in respecting others, you know, always harming the community. And today he reached and he did something wrong against you. It's good for you to hold him responsible, submit him to the authority for the sake of the community, not for your own sake, but for the sake of the community, to make sure he doesn't do these type of mistakes against others again. But when it comes to you personally, it's better always to forgive, not to take revenge. That was the attitude and the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah doesn't take revenge. Doesn't take revenge. He always, you know, forgive. When you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replying, getting annoyed, getting angry, that means the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being violated. So you also should take the same attitude when it comes to your own personal affairs. Somebody hurts you, forgive. Allah says forgive, 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 forgive. Don't worry about forgiveness. Don't hold people responsible of their attitude. But if it is something that affects the community, and this person is not doing it by mistake, no, this is a person that is known to be a person who is a troublemaker, the best is to make sure that this person get what he deserves by the authority. If you're among the authority, hold him accountable. Teach him a lesson so that tomorrow he will not do it with others. You get the difference, right? When it is something that affects the community, and this person is not doing it out of, you know, forgetfulness or mistake. No, he is doing it intentionally. The best is not to forgive. You know, hold him responsible of every single thing, up to the last minute. Even if this person happened to go to jail, you shouldn't worry. You're not doing something bad. You're doing the right thing. It's better for him to learn so that the community will rest. And tomorrow, he will not go and do it with others. Because he does it with him, and he forgives. Does it with him, he forgives. He comes to me, I forgive. That's why he goes to other people also to do it. But if the first person doesn't forgive and he holds him responsible, you know, tomorrow he will think a lot before he does it with the second one. So you have to look at the people, right? To differentiate between this person and the other one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aqilu dhawil hayati fi atharatihim." You should forgive those people of respect, noble people, good people, righteous people, people who, you know how to respect others. When they do a mistake, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, forgive them. Dhawul hayat, those people who are respected. And you know that this person did what he did by mistake. And if he is to be informed, he will apologize. These type of people, you shouldn't hold them responsible of what they did. You should just forgive and close the page and move forward. On the contrary, if you are to be confronted by somebody who is a troublemaker, these type of people shouldn't be forgiven. Lesson has to be taught to them so that they can know how, they should know how to respect others and stay away from harming the community. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.